Thank you, Dwight. You know, we're all thankful this morning that Jesus does live, that he does live. He lives not only in the presence of God, but he lives among us, and he lives in the hearts of those who have been receptive to him. You know, we focus on a lot of things in this life. Sometimes our focus is on the wrong thing. Instead of focusing on God, we focus on the world. We should learn to keep God first in everything. And we should always put him number one in our lives. And we should focus upon the cross of our Savior and our Lord. The Bible in the book of Matthew 6 and verse 33 says that we are to seek the kingdom of God first, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your eye on the cross of Jesus? Is it really? It should be. Every day when we awake, our eye should be upon the cross. Upon the death of our Savior, his vicarious death, the ridicule, the humiliation, and the shame that resulted from the cross of Calvary on that hill called Golgotha. Why should we focus upon Christ? I want to share with you this morning a number of reasons why I really believe that we ought to be focused upon God. I would tell you, number one, we ought to be focused upon God because he has earned our allegiance. There is no one to whom I am more allegiant today than to God. I can tell you he is the one who is deserving of our devotion. He is the one who is deserving of our commitment and our love and our service. He has earned my allegiance because my allegiance belongs to God. And we should always be looking up into the heavens to honor the God that we claim that we love. For in John 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting." I can tell you when John was at the foot of that cross with the mother of our Lord and our Savior, I can tell you that Jesus said unto him, "Son, behold your mother, and woman, behold your son." And no greater love than that which God has poured out at the cross. And for that, you and I ought to be eternally thankful this morning. So thankful that we live for God. It is not enough to come to worship. It is not enough for us to read the Bible and even pray unto God. It is not enough for us to claim a relationship with Christ. But we must be those who are dedicated enough to serve him every day of our lives and to stay focused upon him. You know, there's so many things in this world that take our eyes off of Jesus. But the Bible says that we're to lift our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. Psalms 121. And that we're to fix our eyes upon Christ every day. So let us, if you will, keep him first in our lives because he has earned our allegiance. But we should keep him first in our lives, secondly, because it is he who can recalibrate your life. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I needed to recalibrate. That is, I needed to start over. I needed a new beginning in my life. We all do. Sometimes we go through life and we're so pessimistic about a lot of things. Someone said that an optimist is the man who makes the best of it when he gets the worst of it. Sometimes we bemoan our fate and we go through life. And someone said that when we go through problems in life, we should never ever cry over spilled milk. We just need to go out and milk another cow. And it's true. God's salvation for you and for me takes into account three things. It takes into account the lost, the last, and the least. God can recalibrate your life, and he does allow U-turns. Sometimes we have to make those U-turns in life. There are times when we find ourselves on the wrong path and we have to turn around and ask God to forgive us and ask God to recalibrate once again. And in the book of Proverbs 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will keep your path straight." Let Him recalibrate your life. But thirdly, we should keep God first in our life and we should stay focused upon God, because He will meet the needs that no one else can. Do you realize in life that we all have needs? And only God can really meet those needs. We talk about human beings meeting the needs of one another, but in reality it is God who works through others to meet our needs. When God responds to you, do you realize that it is coming from God? When other people help you, do you realize that the help is coming from up above? That the help is coming from God? But it is God who is working through human beings, and we become the instruments of His grace and His favor, but we should realize that God is the one who meets all of our needs. And in the book of Philippians chapter 4 in verse 19, the Bible says that He supplies all of our needs in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what He says. Your needs personally and my needs. Every day when you have food to put in your stomach, when you have clothes to put on your back, when you have a house in which you reside, you need to remember that it is God who is meeting your needs. That's why we ought to keep Him in focus. And that's why we ought to lift our eyes unto Him every day. Our help doesn't come from the government. There are a lot of people who say, well, you know, we have to depend on the government. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I depend upon a higher power than the government. I depend upon God. We must depend upon God. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, listen to what Christ had to say. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you will drink, nor yet for your body. For what you shall put on, is not life more than meat, and the body the raiment?" He says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." He says, "Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature?" He says, you can't make yourself taller. You can't make yourself shorter. God is the one who is in control. And He says, "Why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow." He said, "They toil not, and neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And wherefore, if God can clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow it is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought." Now that thought itself doesn't carry with it the idea of not everybody thinking about it. But what He's saying is, don't let those thoughts consume you. Don't worry about it. He says, "Therefore, don't worry about it, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things," He says, "do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of even before you ask. But seek ye first the kingdom of God." There it is again. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Do you really believe that this morning? You know what? I really believe it. I believe that if you are focused on God and your commitment is to God, God will meet your needs. He will see that you won't go hungry. He will see that you will not go without clothes. He will see that you have a place in which to live. God will meet your needs. That is exactly and precisely what Christ is saying. He does it sometimes when people come along unexpectedly and hand you money. I'm going to tell you something that has happened to me many, many times in my life. You had expenses, and maybe when you didn't know how you were going to meet those expenses, and no one else knew about it, But all of a sudden, a check shows up in the mail, or someone walks up to you and hands you an envelope of money. You know what? For a long, long time, I used to think, well, you know, that's a human being doing that. But I've come to realize that it is God who is doing it, and He is working through human beings to do it. And we ought to give God the glory, because all of our needs are met in Christ. All of our needs. Philippians 4:19. But fourthly, we ought to keep God first in our life and focus upon Him, because He empowers us to do something that you cannot do without the help of God. And that is to love the unlovable. If I were to ask you this morning, do you love everyone? It'd probably be kind of hard for you to raise your hand and say, yeah, I love everybody. Because there are probably some people in your life you find it difficult to love. But I'm going to tell you this morning that God even empowers us to love the unlovable. He does. How deep is the love of the Father for us? He gives us the power to become the sons of God, John 1 and verse 12. And He teaches us to love the unlovable. And that we are to love one another. You see, Jesus loved the unlovable by reaching out to us. That's the way He shows His love for us. He reaches out for us. Now He does. But now the way that we show Him that we love Him is by reaching up unto Him. And we do it in the act of baptism. When a person is baptized into Christ, he is reaching up to heaven. He is reaching up to God. There are many who believe that they reach up to God by living their own life the way they want to live it. And simply offering an occasional prayer every now and then. But that's not what the Bible says. For in Matthew 5 and verse 44, the Scripture says, but I say unto you to love your enemies. How many of you have enemies? None of you? Bless you. One man told me one time, he says, no, I've outlived them all. Well, maybe you have. I don't know. But if you have enemies, the Bible says that you can love your enemies. Now, He's not talking about people in Afghanistan. He's not talking about national enemies and other nations who are trying to destroy us. That's not what He's talking about. But He is talking about on a personal level, one with whom we have had conflict, one with whom we have had problems, one with whom we have had words. And Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for My sake, for great is your reward in heaven. How in the name of heaven can we go to heaven and can we serve God and say that we love Him when we are unwilling to love one another? It is impossible. I'm going to tell you it's impossible because John said it. He said, how can we say that we love God whom we have not seen and yet hate our brother whom we have seen? If you have hatred and animosity in your heart towards someone, folks, let me tell you something, get rid of it. And God will empower you to love even the unlovable. He will. Because in reality, every one of us helped nail the nails into the hands and feet of Jesus. You and I picked up the hammer. Because it was our sin that drove Jesus to the cross. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's the kind of love that does not fail. But number five, we should keep God first in our life. Because He can create something good from your situation. I'm sure today, if I were to ask you the question, is everything going well in your life? Many of you would say to me this, and I quote, oh yeah, everything's going great. But if the truth were known down deep in your heart and down deep in your life, things are not going well for you. Something is wrong in your life. It may be that you have bitterness in your heart. It may be that you've not been able to find a job. It may be that you're having financial problems. It may be that you're having problems with your mate, or that you're having problems with your children, or perhaps someone else. Not everything always goes right in our life. But I'm telling you that God can take your situation, whatever it is, and bring something good from it. In the book of Romans 8 and verse 28, the Bible says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. Who are those that are called according to the purposes of God? But those of us who are His children. But those of us who are Christians, and God can take it. I know sometimes people look at life and say, I don't know how God can bring good from that. I'm not telling you that God can bring good from every event that occurs in your life. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that God can bring good from someone in our family becoming terminally ill. I'm not saying that God can bring something good from an individual having a financial meltdown in his life. But what I am telling you is that God can take all of the events that occur in our life, and He can bring good from it if we just trust Him. And that is something that is extremely hard for us to do. Because you know what happens? When people have financial problems, we take our focus off God. When marriage problems arise, we take our focus off God. When you have health problems, you take your focus off God. And you start saying, God, why me? We must stay focused on God. He must be first in our life when things are going well, but also when things are going bad. And we must understand that the new birth should be something that we experience every day in our life. I know Jesus in His encounter with Nicodemus in John 3, verse 3 through 5, talks about a new birth. But you know, in reality, and we do experience that in baptism, we're born of the water and the Spirit. But in reality, every day of life is a new birth for us. It is a new birth for you. The old days are gone and the new days are before us. The future is before us. And there is a new birth with the dawn of every day. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. And when you think you are alone, remember that Jesus is right there beside you. Sometimes we get the feeling that Christ is not there. I'm telling you, in your dark, dismal moment in your life, I don't care how dark it is, God is there and Christ is there. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water, or be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Again, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. And you know what? It's just like a new plant. It is. It is. God plants His seed in us, and we start growing, and we start developing. That's what it is really all about, isn't it? It is. You're a plant. And whether you as a plant live or whether you die is dependent upon you and it is dependent upon God. But number six, we keep God first in our life and we focus upon Him because He will be there when everyone else walks out. When others are distant. In reality, Jesus is the answer. Do we really have any questions? He said in Matthew 28, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Christ is with us. He said, "I will be with you all the way. I won't be with you when things are going good or with you when things are going bad." But he said, "I will be with you always." Not always, but always. Even to the end of the world. You know, I'm so thankful this morning that God stepped in with His great love for us. I'm so glad through my life that when others have walked out, that Jesus stepped in. Several years ago, there's a story about a man. He stood 6'9" tall and weighed 310 pounds. Rumor had it that he had killed a man with his bare hands, just squeezed the life right out of him. It was the kind of reputation that gained respect in the rough city where we grew up. At 15, this man named Willie was already a legend. Willie and I, he said, played together since we were both in diapers, although we were the unlikeliest of pairs. He was a massive black giant, and I was a pudgy little redhead. We both worked at the factory in town, and I worked in the office, and Willie on the dock. Even the hardened men who worked alongside Willie feared him. He saw me home safely from work, and I kept his secret every night. Instead of cruising through the city streets, beating people up, he went home lovingly, lifted his elderly grandmother out of the chair to which she was confined, and placed her in a bed. He would read to her until she fell asleep, and in the morning he would comb her thin gray hair and dress her in one of her beautiful nightgowns he bought with the money he made at the can company and place her back in the chair. Willie had lost both of his parents due to drugs, and it was just the two of them now. He took care of her and gave him a reason to stay clean. Of course, there wasn't an ounce of truth to the rumors, but Willie never said otherwise. He just let everyone believe what they believed, and although everyone wrote him off as just another street hood, no one hassled him either. I remember one day at school, in our Western Civilization class, our teacher read aloud the excerpts from Machiavelli's The Prince, and quote, "Since love and fear cannot exist together, if we must choose between them, it is far safer to be feared than loved." I looked at Willie and winked, and I thought, "That's you." I mouthed, and he just smiled back. The next day, I lingered a few minutes longer than usual at work, and Willie went on without me. And just around the corner from the can company, fire trucks lined the streets with a thick blanket of smoke that covered the sky. A small child lay wrapped in a very familiar red and black checkered flannel shirt held by a tearful woman. She was talking to the fireman and a reporter from the evening news. She said, "This great big guy heard the baby crying, and he came right in and got us." She said, through joyful tears, he wrapped his shirt around that baby, and when the sirens came, he ran off down the street. And the reporter asked, "Did you get his name?" And the woman replied, "Yes, sort of. He said his name was Machiavelli." That evening, the paper ran the story offering award to anyone with information about the identity of this Good Samaritan, but no one ever came forward. You see, Jesus stepped in and wrapped his loving arms around you and around me when we were facing the fires of eternal hell. And we should keep our eyes focused upon him. For Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We should keep God first, because he is deserving of our devotion. He will recalibrate our life, and he will meet the needs that no one else can meet. He empowers you to love even the unlovable. He can create something good from your situation, regardless of how bad it may be. And he will be there for you when everyone else has gone out the door and when everyone else is distant toward you. Do you realize that some have hidden their eyes, and they have closed their ears? The real question is not what someone else has done, but the question is, what have you done? Have you closed your eyes and ears to Jesus? May God help us to reach up and to reach out to him. We reach up to him, as I said, by faith and obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people malign the church and say bad things about the church. But in the church of Jesus Christ, we believe God, and we believe that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's why we believe that one must hear the gospel, and one must be willing to confess his faith in Christ, repenting of sin, and by being baptized for the remission of his sins, and by being faithful unto God. Let me ask you a question that I asked at the very beginning of our lesson today. Are you focused upon God? And do you have a close encounter with Christ? Do you really? Let me tell you something this morning, whether you believe it or not. God is speaking to you. Not someone else. Not the person sitting next to you on the other side. But he's speaking to you. And he's speaking to me. Are you really focused on Jesus this morning? Is your eye on Christ? Do you have eye contact with your Savior? Can you look him in the eye? If you can't, then perhaps you need to do something with your life that would enable you to do so. Perhaps this morning you need to obey the gospel to become God's child. And that's a real serious question, isn't it? Are you ready to obey the gospel by being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin and thereby walking with Christ? You know, sometimes people wait and delay their obedience to gospel thinking that a more convenient season is going to come. It never does. The devil will always put obstacles in your way. Just when you think you're ready to give your life to Christ, the devil will come along and he will put something in your way to keep you from doing what you know down deep in your heart you need to do. Let me ask you and challenge you this morning to don't worry about those obstacles. Climb over them. And to realize, to be focused upon Christ is the most important thing you could ever do in this life. I have learned that when we shift our eyes toward heaven, others shift their eyes there too. Have you ever noticed that? Somebody can walk outside and point up into the clouds just with their finger and start looking up there. And before long, you know what? Everyone else is gazing up. I'm telling you this morning that when we put our eyes upon Christ and when we look into the heavens to our Lord and to our Savior, then others will follow. And they'll follow you. And this morning, if you believe with all of your heart that Christ is the Son of God and that He died for your sin because you were a sinner, and you're willing to relinquish your sinful lifestyle and come to Christ this morning by faith and obedience to His gospel, by being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin, being set free from all the guilt and the stain that accompanies it, then we give you that opportunity this morning as we stand and as we sing.